Sports Radio 90 Time the Game from the Northern Kia Studios. John Fricke with you. 1 o'clock hour on this New Year's Day. 404-726-0929. Oregon and Texas Tech locked in a defensive battle. We're approaching midway through second quarter, and it's 3-0 Oregon in this game. Coming up in 3 hours, Pasadena, Indiana, Alabama, and then at 8 o'clock or so, right, Georgia and Ole Miss in the Sugar Bowl tonight after Miami beats Ohio State last night. And very dominant performance. And do you see Ohio State and you see them lose the Big Ten title game, Garrett Chapman, and then you see them play against Miami. Is it a case where was Julian Sain overrated? I mean, he's got the two incredible wide receivers. I tend to think it's more just their offensive line wasn't very good.
I don't want to say it wasn't very good necessarily. It's just that Miami's was that much better, you know? And then I don't think they were pushed at all in the Big Ten. I mean, Indiana was by far the best team that they played this year, and they shut them down. Miami, similar situation. And I think that defense that they have over there is really good. It's just when they face somebody who has a methodical quarterback who can hit those big throws if he needs to, it's going to run. They run into some issues, you know? And man, that offense is just not as good as I think they thought that it was. And I think that it comes back to Julian Sain. You have to find a guy. And they kept calling him composed and resilient and everything else like that on the broadcast last night. I'm like, yeah, he's definitely composed, but resilient? I don't think he ever had an opportunity to be resilient and win. You know, he never came out on top in a game where they were trailing in the third quarter. It only happened twice, and they lost both. So it was sort of a weird thing where I think you had an expectation of what they were going to be. He's a five-star player, really, really talented. But the thing is, any five-star player can be really, really talented and look really, really good and be a Heisman finalist if he has all day to throw and two top 10 wide receivers in two years' time in the NFL draft. It certainly helps.
Let's get your reaction here. We're talking about, by the way, the portal will open tomorrow. When it comes to quarterback, we may get our first $5 million player in college football history. Likely be a quarterback. If you believe the rankings, that could be Brendan Sorsby, the quarterback of Cincinnati. Also toward the top, DJ Lagway from Florida, Josh Hoover from TCU, Sam Levitt from Arizona State, Dylan Raiola from Nebraska. I asked some people whether or not George would be interested in Dylan Raiola. He did commit to the Bulldogs, did play at Buford. His brother played at Buford. You know, I mean, is that something that could happen? Some Georgia fans are like, he's no good. I think Dylan's pretty good. Dylan's got a flaw in his game that just needs to be coached out of him. He holds on to the ball too long. That's his biggest issue. And I know a lot of people are like, he didn't like the whole Pat Mahomes thing. Well, the dude had, you know, completed 73% of his passes for a reason behind also kind of a crappy offensive line where he was under duress. He gets any time, sort of time. I think Dylan Raiola is a good quarterback, guys. And I think he'll go somewhere else and really shine. So we'll see how that all kind of works out here. Let's go to Ken. He's on with John. Hey, Ken, welcome to the program. Thanks, Ken, for jumping into the show.
Hey, good New Year. Happy New Year, should I say, John. I didn't know you were a Lathonia alum. I'm a Reed and Raider, so.
Well, both of my brothers are.
A bit rivals.
Yeah, both of my brothers are Redan Raiders.
Okay. Were they there when Kevin Butler was there? Or
it was when the school first opened. And the other reason I didn't go to Redan was because they didn't have a senior class their first year when it opened.
Wow.
And by the time Redan opened, yep, I was a senior. So I was still at Lathonia. That was back when my brother played football and baseball with Wally Joyner and Kevin Butler.
I'm the first freshman class of Redan, but what do you think about, since Arthur was so enamored with having Belichick, won't he get a Belichick disciple in Flores, somebody that's going to be young? I mean, this guy went up against the NFL and actually won. And one thing we know that Raheem is, you know, everybody says they like him, but when it comes to X's and O's, that's never one of the top things that he's known for. And Flores is known for the X's and O's, and his likability is that he gets stuff done, and that's what we need. And I think that it would be so foolish to waste another year of Drake, waste another year of Bijan, and go back. You know, head coaching is not really one of those jobs that you kind of learn on the job. You can learn some things, but, I mean, Rod does stuff that I wouldn't even do on Madden. And it's just, you can tell that we're not as buttoned up as we should be. And I think that's one thing that Flores would definitely bring, and I would like to hear what you think about that.
No, I love Brian Flores. I again, who's making the call here? It's really difficult for us to talk about, forget about talking about the roster construction. It's difficult for us to talk about who the next head coach is going to be because we don't know who's going to be making the call. And I think first things first is, let me ask you, what do you think of the idea of Matt Ryan moving into this significant role? And will the significant role include him being able to make the call in regards to the head coaching change or potentially general manager change? And are you okay with that if that's what happens?
Well, it's a little disheartening since he doesn't have any experience. I would like somebody to be experienced in it. I love Matt. One thing my friend used to always tell me, Kenny, you go miss him when he's gone. I think that Matt is very respectable. I think Terry has shown on the field with the talent that we have, we have the talent to be better. I think that GM is not a job that you can go 100%, especially in a collision sport. But he's gotten more right than wrong, and I think that based upon Rod giving his grocery list, Arthur having his grocery list, I think that's how we were able to get the two quarterback conundrum, is because he was serving two masters. Everything else that Terry has done has been very calculated. The Divine Diablos, the just finding these people, and that whole situation just seemed like a way for him to appease both masters. Everybody knows that if you look at how long that Kirk was able to get, the leash that Kirk got, you could tell that was Rod's guy. Rod lived and died with Kirk. And he knew, and when I say he, Terry knew that Arthur told him, I don't want to be looking for another quarterback in 3 to 4 years. Like, the main reason he went to Sean Watson. He knows how, Arthur knows how important it is to have a quarterback, and I feel like Terry was put in a no-win situation where he was trying to make the person who's going to be coaching happy and the person who ultimately signs both checks.
Thank you, Ken. Do appreciate it. Happy New Year to all you folks and all you Redan Raiders out there. But go Dogs, go. My brothers went there, but I did not, so I'm not a Redan fan. I'm not a Stone Mountain Pirate. I'm not no Southwest Cab. When I was growing up, Southwest Cab was like the powerhouse in the city. Southwest Cab, that was the powerhouse. They kicked everybody's butt. And then Redan came along, and Redan was kicking everybody's butt. Redan was a powerhouse. Times change. We got a Paul. Welcome to the show, Paul. Hey, welcome in.
Okay. Thank you, John. That Matt Ryan situation, it's got to be a significant role because he had a great job at CBS. Wasn't he becoming like almost number one? You know, he was pretty good analyst or studio host there, guy. I liked him as an analyst myself. And this guy even had a commercial about it, man. You know, the Matty Ice truck commercial, you know, the guy was blowing up over there. So he ain't going to be just leaving that, right? You know, if it's not significant job over at the Falcons.
Well, that's what they've said. I mean, they've said that, again, we wouldn't know. We know it's a job with the Falcons, and we know it's significant because if it weren't, the Falcons wouldn't have leaked it, and that's how we found out. And the Falcons would have been, if they didn't leak it and it was just speculation, they would have shot it down, and they have not. So, yes, Matt Ryan's going to be in Flowery Branch, and it's going to be a significant role. That's correct. But we don't know what that means. To me, significant, I don't know how you read it, means head coach, general manager, team president, CEO. For my money, I would like him to be the CEO. I think I'd like to have him in charge of that. But if that's the case, if he's going to be the big boss and report directly to Arthur Blank, and Arthur's going to turn it over to Matt, I think Matt's eminently qualified to do that. And so I think if he's going to do that, I think they need to do it today or tomorrow, because if he's going to be making a change to hire a new head coach, he's got to be the one to make the firing.
Yeah. Wow. It's fascinating. This is going to be interesting right here. And Kyle Pitts, y'all can let him go. You got a tight end on the team. Chris Warner, Charlie Warner, whatever. This guy's good. Isn't he? He's good. Every time he's on the field, I see productivity. God.
Yeah, Charles is a good player. Charles is a really good player. It's hard for us to talk about roster construction. Those are questions that are going to be answered, moving forward here. All I'll say is that Kyle Pitts is a different kind of player than Charlie Warner. Charlie Warner is more of an old school tight end, blocking tight end, possession receiving tight end. I really like what Charlie brings to the table. And if the new coach wants that kind of a tight end, that's fine. Kyle Pitts is a hybrid. He's a downfield weapon. And when they finally realize how to use him in that regard and unlock him, that's why he's going to be so, if he leaves the Falcons, he's going to be so highly sought after in the NFL.
He's like Harold Carmichael, isn't he? Reminds me of Harold Carmichael. Should be like that.
You have to be kind of old to understand that. But, he's more modern day. He's more like, a Gronk or a Kelsey. Yeah. He's an offensive weapon of a wide receiver.
Yeah, exactly. His agent won't try to pull the who was that, said he was a receiver. Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, that's something that, I wondered aloud, too. I mean, are they going to try and pull that stunt, because the tag number, if you're tagging for a receiver, is appreciably more than it is for a tight end. So, they may have to send that to arbitration. But, again, that's something that we'll have to litigate, in an arbitration situation after the season's over. First things first, we got to figure out what's going to happen with your management structure and your coaching staff. Because about roster construction is pointless if we bring in a new coach who wants to do something entirely different.
Yep.
So
okay, John, that's pretty much all I had.
Thank you, Paul. Happy New Year.
Loganville. Loganville. I think, wasn't it the Corvette commercial? I thought it was the Chevrolet Corvette commercial.
Yeah, somebody said it was Maxie Price Chevy.
Maxie Price, I remember it.
I don't know Maxie Price Chevy. I was never over in Loganville. If you had asked me at the time in the 1970s, where's Loganville, I would have said, I don't know, somewhere in Metro Atlanta. I was living out in Stone Mountain. I was like, I don't know. It's always over here north of here somewhere, I know Memorial Drive. I know Rockbridge Road. I worked at, there's a Texaco in Pine Lake that was a Chevron that I worked at. There was another gas station in the corner of Benola and I-20. It's now I think it's now a KFC that I worked at. I mean, that's kind of that's kind of what I know. I wasn't exactly running up to Maxie Price Chevy at age 17 or 18 to buy a car, so I just heard the commercials.
Well, specializing, it was a Corvette. It seemed like it was doing the thing on the Corvettes because I want one so bad. Yeah. I was like, I'm going there one day to get my Corvette. Then
okay, there you go. That's why advertising works. Yep. That's why you should advertise on 99 The Game and especially have me do your ads. That's a different story. All right, thanks, Bob. Do appreciate it. Happy New Year to you. Quick break, Joe, Steve, hang on. I've always said, I promise you, if you're hanging on, it may be a little bit of a wait, but if you're hanging on, you will get on the air. We're talking about the Falcons here and what's going to happen ahead of Black Monday. What role does Matt Ryan have? Now, if Matt Ryan isn't going to be making that big role as the CEO, because the Falcons won't tell us, obviously, so we're just speculating. Because it's the first thing, guys, it's a docket, okay? And the very first thing we have to do is Matt Ryan, that's the very first question, because he's going to have a role with the team, and it's going to be significant. The Falcons have said it, they have not denied it, so we know that that's a fact. If he's going to do it, is he going to have a role where he's going to make the determination in regards to the coach? If so, then he's going to have to be installed today or tomorrow, in order to be able to make that call. On Monday for Black Monday, because if they're going to move on from Raheem on Monday, they got to do it at 9 a.m. and they got to jump right in. Because if you've got an idea that it's going to be Joe Brady or Clint Kubiak or whomever, Brian Flores, whoever's the next head coach, you can't afford, if you've got a guy, you cannot wait and let somebody else steal him, because there are going to be at least six or seven other teams that are probably going to fire their coaches on Monday. Right? Follow it? Okay, good. Quick break as we continue with John Fricke on Sports Radio 90 turning the game. The There's a video of Metallica in Moscow, Gary Chapman. You can YouTube it. Metallica live in Moscow.
It's incredible.
There are literally, they say that they're not sure that there are at least a million people at the concert. And it's not AI, because this was 25 years ago, 30 years ago.
Would you go to that concert?
It was in Moscow, dude.
Would you have gone?
Well, yeah. I mean, would I go see Metallica? Yeah, of course.
Million people, man. I might have to draw the line there.
That's a big number. Metallica.
That's a big number.
Yeah, it's the video that when they, because Enter Sandman, which is this song, when they come out and they first start playing this and they turn the cameras around and you go, if it's not, oh, yeah, because there was no AI back then, you know, it's like, yeah, there might be a million people there. It's insane. It goes, people as far as you can see. It's like, oh, my God, you know. 404-726-0929. We're talking about, again, there's a progression that has to happen here with the Atlanta Falcons. By the way, we're almost at, but let me stop for a second, because it is playoff day, and we're getting ready for Alabama and Indiana in Pasadena at the Rose Bowl at 4 o'clock in Georgia, and Ole Miss, the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans. And I want to jump in with Garrett Chapman on that before the show ends, and you can jump in as well on that. But there's a linear, we're almost halftime. It's 3-0 Oregon. Did you expect, what was the over-under on the total points on in the first half of that game? 3-0 Oregon? Yeah, that
well,
doesn't.
Six
wow.
now. Oregon
now,
just
now, now it's six, right? So six,
not
but
a
still,
lot of points.
Not a lot of points.
Have you seen the attendance at this game? By the way, it is not good.
Well, it's Oregon. Eugene, Oregon is how far from Miami?
It's about as far as possible, John.
In at Lubbock, Texas, you know, are the Landman people, are they hopping on board a plane and heading to Miami, or are they all waiting for the next round?
They want to come to Atlanta. That's what I
great.
Know.
This is the problem. I this is why I present the solution, and the solution to this is to maintain the New Year's Six bowl games, but to have home games through the first two rounds, and then use three of the six for the semifinals. Forget this whole national title game isn't a bowl game. Put three of the six in, and the bowl game becomes the Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, whatever. Peach Bowl becomes the national title game. And then to use the other three at the beginning of the year in that opening weekend, use it as a, you know, Thursday, Friday, Monday, Friday, Saturday, Monday national game. And so the Rose Bowl would be on Thursday and the Peach Bowl on Friday and the Sugar Bowl on Monday or something, and get major teams, pay them a lot of money to go in those New Year's Six bowl games as the kickoff to the season. And then they just keep rotating. And that's the way you handle it.
I just don't think that you're going to get the Rose Bowl to agree to that.
Well, then the Rose Bowl's out.
Well, I mean, the Rose Bowl is it carries a lot of weight. That one carries weight.
Well, then, no, you're making the call. You're just, the Big Ten and the SEC have to merge, and they tell the Bulls this is what's going to happen. And if the Rose Bowl says, we're not going to do that, the Big Ten and the SEC can say, okay, well, you could have, you know, Mid-America Conference and Mountain West in your game. Go ahead.
Granddaddy of them all.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait for that, you know, Eastern Michigan, Nevada, Rose Bowl. I'm sitting on edge for it. What do you want? I mean, I don't care about the bowl games. That's not relevant to me at this point. I think they need to play home games. And I think this is bearing it out here. 404-726-0929, we go to Steve. He's on with John. Hey, Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. I saw that video you're talking about, Metallica, and there's so many people there. The guys in the back, there's no way they could hear the concert.
Well, they had gigantic speakers. They had to have had gigantic speakers back there.
Yeah, Moscow knows how to party. But anyway, I was debating about calling you because I've been calling you for years. And over the last 3 years when I call, it seems like it's always about Kyle Pitts. And then when I get off the phone, I have to check my blood pressure because you always defend this guy for some reason. And I cannot understand what you and some of these other fans are watching. I'm the guy I called up years ago, and I pointed out that Kyle Pitts was loafing. I said, watch every offensive play for the Falcons, and you'll see what Kyle Pitts is doing.
Okay, so you don't like cow pits. We've established this. All right, let's just move. Let's move forward here. I mean, yeah, okay, and
okay. Well, that seems to be what Falcons fans have been debating here. So that's just.
But,
my opinion.
We can't debate. We, you know, I should never have entertained it, Steve. We cannot debate. We cannot debate roster construction at the moment.
Okay, so
because we don't know who's going to be making the call.
I'll move on. I'll talk about Georgia.
Hang on. I just want you to understand why. I mean, we could go back to having this discussion here about Kyle Pitts, but we can't do it now because you understand why. I have no idea who's going to be making the call, right? Neither do you.
Right. I'm just saying, you know, people have their opinion. They call up and tell their opinion. It's a debate about between Falcon fans about Kyle Pitts, and I can't understand why you would want a guy who lines up in the wrong position. Illegal procedure penalties, will not hustle, will not block at all, juggles the ball up in the air like it's a volleyball, calls an interception.
Okay, well, you see what you – apparently, see, Steve, you see what you want to see because the man, there's a reason that he would be maybe the most hotly sought after free agent in the entire NFL.
He's not going to be sought after by anyone.
Oh, my God. All right, so, Steve, he's going to be highly sought after. And if you don't understand that, I can't help you.
He is the biggest bust.
I can't help you if you don't understand how highly a free agent he's going to be. So every other host on 92 in the game who's listening right now, and people in Frolley Branch and everybody rolling their eyes at you. You don't because
that doesn't matter. I know what I know.
Well, yeah,
I got
because Steve knows all.
I know what I see.
Yeah,
I know.
Well, apparently you don't because you know the touchdown run. You know the touchdown run that Bijan had the other day. It was his seal block that kicked it. You do know that, right?
Well, what has he done for 3 years? He had.
You mean besides make the Pro Bowl when he had a real good quarterback as the second leading receiver all time in the history of time? Why, if you're not seeing his, if you don't see that what he can possibly do, because maybe he wasn't used right, maybe he didn't have the right quarterbacks, maybe he didn't have the right coaching.
There you
I don't
go.
Know.
You're making excuses for him.
No, I'm saying that he is a very talented guy who did not achieve, and some of that is on him. I agree. But, you know, it's also obvious and evident that he has superior skills when he wants to and when he's used right.
Superior skills? Okay, I want to move on to Georgia.
Hang on here. Garrett, because I don't even know if I trust what you're going to say about Georgia. Garrett, do you think that Kyle Pitts, when it kind of the stars align and he wants to or he's used right, that we see a guy that the NFL looks at in free agency and says, oh, my God, I want this guy?
Somebody will pay him a lot of money.
Yeah,
ultimately,
that's what I think so. Anyway, let's go on to Georgia, Steve, real quick. I got other people. Go.
Okay. I think Georgia wins tonight. And then against Miami, it's going to come down to, can we get the pass rush on Carson Beck? We have two defensive linemen out. If we can get the pass rush on Carson Beck,
let's talk about tonight first. I was like, you want to talk about the title game?
Yes.
Tonight, all right, thanks, Steve. I got to move on here. I always love people. Let's talk about a game that doesn't exist. Oh my God, dude. Steve, thanks for calling. I hope your blood pressure's down, but I don't know what world you live in. You've got to play a game tonight. If Georgia's players and coaches are worried about how they're going to get pressure on Carson Beck, ain't no way in hell, Steve, you're going to play Carson Beck because you're not paying attention to Trinidad Chambliss. How about we pay attention to what's right in front of us? Oh, we have to do this against Carson Beck. Oh, Steve, come on. We just disagree. He says he always has to have his blood pressure. Well, okay.
Well, John,
he hates Kyle Pitts.
In fairness, I mean, I understand some of the frustration about Kyle Pitts because
sure, I do too.
He's talented. He's immensely talented, but
he's immensely talented.
That doesn't make him a good tight end.
No, it makes him a weapon. I don't disagree with that. I have to say. You know, it's hard for me to judge. You know, is he guilty? Is Steve wrong that he's guilty of loafing at times? No, he's not wrong. But he refuses to see the other side. I mean, I could point to I could agree with him on all these things. You know, his catch radius is huge. he's made some really tough contested catches. You know, you see it in the times where he's made catches downfield and he's shredding defensive backs like they're nothing.
He's also 25 years old. He is young. NFL standards.
There is no quarterback that wouldn't want to play with Kyle Pitts. The question is, can you unlock him? We always say this. So, to Steve's point, he's right that Kyle Pitts has been frustrating, but if he doesn't see the upside there or the good that Kyle Pitts has done, you know, when you saw a game like he had against Tampa and you go, that's that guy, you know? I mean,
well, John, I asked Kirk yesterday specifically about what the offense looked like last week. On Monday, specifically on Monday. And they just didn't throw the ball very much. I mean, I know a lot of people are coming at like Drake London, at Kyle Pitts, not coming at him, but saying it's like just wasn't a good game for them. But yeah, I mean, they only had 20 completions, right? I mean,
no, 20 attempts.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they were running the
13
ball.
13 completions.
They were running and running and running and running.
Right, they had 13 completions for the whole game.
Yeah, so, and a lot of those came on one possession, right?
Right.
A lot of those came on that first touchdown drive of the game. And it's hard to really judge what a team was doing in a game like that when you're running the ball that well. Keep running the ball. That's very simple. But what he was as Drake London was coming back from injury is indicative of what he could look like as a more involved member of the offense. Can he consistently do that? That remains to be seen. But the potential is so tantalizing. He is so talented. We'll see if they can actually unlock that.
He's got a lot of gifts.
He's got the gifts, but it's like,
but you know, the Kyle Pitts haters are not going to. They're just not going to.
And look, I don't hate Kyle Pitts.
And they're also not going to, you know, examine the fact that you know, we're talking about a player that since he showed up has played, you know, what's this? He's played 5 years, right?
This is his fifth year. Yes.
So he played with Matt Ryan. He played with Noodle Arm Quitter. DoorDash Dez.
Coming off of an ACL injury.
Taylor Heineke, right? He played with Kirk and with Penix. Mm-hmm. So he's had six starting quarterbacks in 5 years. Some of them have left and come back to start again, like Kirk, like Mariota, like DoorDash. He's had six starting. We act like he's had one, two, three. But he's on his third offensive coordinator, fourth offensive coordinator, three head coaches, right? I mean,
I think he's just had the two offensive coordinators. But the point is, I mean, this is it's been a very difficult couple of years for Kyle. And, I mean, you saw the potential, and the potential is going to get him paid. He's going to get paid. But I know you talked about franchise tagging him. That's a $15, $16 million agreement. That's a lot of money. But he may also make that on the open market.
On the open market and more.
He very well may. But at the same time, do you really want to put that much money into that? Or do you want to go see if what you can find in the market?
That's why I say we can't sit here and have an honest discussion about roster construction because...
Say nothing changes. Would you pay that?
Say nothing changes.
They move forward with Zach Robinson and Raheem Morris as the head coach and offensive coordinator of this team.
Who's the quarterback?
Kirk Cousins. Nothing changes.
Well, I don't think you can afford him if Cousins is a quarterback.
Okay, well then say they go back to Penix.
That becomes
a
money
Kirk
thing.
Cousins. They cut Kirk Cousins. They go sign, I don't know, find Jacoby Brissett or whatever. Who cares? Doesn't matter. A veteran quarterback, you bring him.
Yes, at that point I'd probably tag him, yes.
Okay. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
Yeah, but I think he's a weapon enough to tag him.
Okay.
Yeah, to me.
Okay. Would you sign him to a deal?
Not unless I was certain. No, and the reason is because you could also take him twice, but also because if we're going into next year with Raheem, then it's still a make or break year. I don't know what.
Okay.
He could be, if it's a new head coach and the new head coach wants him, then I try to negotiate, depending on what he wants. I'm not going to break the bank for him.
Yeah. And look,
talk about roster construction until we know. Because if you bring Raheem back, you got to keep in mind that you're bringing Raheem back on a one-year deal.
Yeah, and he better win early.
Yeah.
Better win
early. Not even a one-year deal.
Yeah. You got a six-week deal.
You can't be signing multi-year contracts with guys that the next head coach wouldn't necessarily want because he's not going to construct a roster around it.
Yeah. That's what happened in 2019. You saw what happened
right
there.
So all this is in play, but we can't talk about roster construction until such a time as we get the determination, the final determination on, you know, who the GM and the head coach are going to be. Maybe the same two guys. But if it is, remember, Raheem Morris is coming back on a one-year deal, which makes it really hard to fire the offensive coordinator, because really good offensive coordinators are not going to want to come and go play for a coach that's on a one-year deal and move their family. That's another thing to keep in mind. Quick break as we continue. And I'm sorry, Steve's blood pressure gets up. So we can just view Kyle Pitts differently. There's no reason to get angry about it. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That's right. We lost Ozzy this year, didn't we? I still say that this should have been the song for the MCU movie. For those who don't know, this is Iron Man, Black Sabbath. One of the classic heavy metal songs of all time.
Didn't you say that Black Sabbath is the best?
Yes, I think they're the greatest heavy metal band of all time, yes.
Okay. Is it because of this guy?
Well, I just think the whole band is great. Yeah. I mean, they have iconic heavy metal songs, including Iron Man and Black Sabbath and Paranoid and a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, yeah, I would say Black Sabbath is king and Metallica is the prince next in line, right behind Black Sabbath. I would go 1-2. Much as a Metallica fan I am, I would say that Black Sabbath is the king. So, anyway, that has nothing to do with nothing. Just personal opinion. Boy, I tell you what, if the Falcons bring back Kyle Pitts, Garrett, if they tag him, there are two people that are going to be really mad. Pitts' agent and Steve.
And maybe Kyle Pitts himself.
maybe Kyle Pitts himself. But, you know, because his agent's going to go, man, you know, if you don't tag us, I can get a multi-year deal for more money than you're willing to tag us for. And he may. And Steve's going to go, I don't understand why the Falcons were bringing back. Steve is living in a world that he doesn't like him. Okay, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but I'm just telling you what Steve thinks he understands what the facts are around Kyle Pitts. He doesn't. Kyle Pitts is going to get a multi-year deal from another team in free agency that will pay him likely more than he would make when he was tagged. Why would they do that? He sucks. Because maybe Stevie doesn't suck.
The craziest stat, though, that Josh Kendall brought up a couple weeks ago is that Kyle Pitts right now is just 1 year older than Travis Kelce was when he had his first NFL catch.
Yeah. No, he's still a really young guy.
He's 25. He's a baby in the NFL, just by age. I mean, he's been in the NFL like five years.
He's the same age as Penix, correct?
Yes. I think he's actually younger than Penix.
You know?
I'm fairly certain that Penix is like 6 months older than he is. But again, I'm not sitting here and pounding the drum for Kyle Pitts necessarily.
No, I'm neither. I don't think you are either.
No, it's just the potential is enough. It's why you draft certain types of players, right? You see it all the time in the NBA. You draft potential. You have to do that occasionally and see what you can get. That's what Troy Andersen was. And guess what? Troy Andersen didn't work. And he's going to be on the free agency market, and he's going to be out of Atlanta, and he's going to be moving on to his next place. Yeah.
I mean, if he stays healthy, it may be a different story.
And that's part of it.
Yeah. And people are like, why did the Falcons get rid of Nate Land? Of course, it's Landman now with the season that he's having. Well, the Rams are constructed differently than the Falcons. And the Falcons, because of injuries, had to use, you know, Landman to try to be a more of an outside backer. And he couldn't cover you or me. He doesn't have the ability to cover anybody in the flat. He became point. They needed speed out there. They needed a Diablo who could, you know, bounce and cover somebody coming out on a wheel route or something, which Lyman could not do, by the way. And so he's just a straight kind of old school middle linebacker, kind of rush between, you know, clog the lanes and rush. And he works well in that kind of a system. He works really well. That just wasn't what the Falcons were doing. That's all. You know, so it's not that he can't play. Just sometimes players fit and sometimes they don't. And if a new coach comes in here and says, I don't need a stretch tight end, I need to have a blocking tight end, I need Charlie Werner, and I need another guy like Werner who's a possession blocking tight end, then there's no reason to have Kyle Pitts, because that's not what he is. He is a stretch the field, downfield, you know, he's basically, somebody said Harold Carmichael. I argued that 3 years ago that they were misusing him, that they ought to just make him a wide receiver. Just put him on the outside. Don't ask him to, you know, maybe ask him to come, you know, block a little bit. But I think I said they had to just use him as a 6'8" wide receiver. And to hell with this whole, you know, go out and get another tight end. You know, I still think that he has a potential. You know, somebody out there may be looking and going, you know what, we're going to turn Kyle Pitts into a wide receiver. And all of a sudden, Kyle Pitts is going to blow up in fantasy leagues, and Steve's going to call in and go, he still sucks. I have no idea. I don't know why Steve's mad at me and getting his blood pressure up over me. I'm just analyzing what I see. Anyway, let's go to Brian here. Hey, Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, John Freaky. First time I got through to you. I was not going to talk about Kyle Pitts, but you got to keep him. He is a beast. Do not let him go. And I agree with what you just said. Make him a wide receiver. Kind of like Gronk could pull that off.
There are a few guys that could. He legit could.
The person I really wanted, I was listening to the Abe and Randy show, and Randy said, run Bijan as much as possible, and we will win. We have a Barry Sanders on our hands. Don't waste him. And they were like, what about workload and injuries? Said, I don't care. He signed up for the running back job. Run him, and we will win.
Yeah, he has – what was the stat the other day that they put out that he has more scrimmage yards from running and receiving than anybody – it's not really even close – than anybody in the NFL over the last – 3 years, Garrett? Something like that? 3-4? Well, ever since ever long he's been in the NFL.
They have a short lifespan in the running backs, too, in the NFL. So use him before
One of the
you
reasons
realize-
that Tyler Allgeier has been so good is because Tyler Allgeier is a legit number one back in somebody else's offense, and he's able to spell Bijan, and as a result, that's, you know, hopefully it's going to extend his career a couple, you know, a year or two. That's a good thing.
I would hope so. I don't want him to get overworked, but Randy said run him into the ground until he can't and then go draft another one.
Oh, I don't know how many of those you find, so but
never.
All right, I got
you. Might not. Matt Ryan, his significant role, could he pull off the Phillip Rivers role? Come back, be our quarterback until...
No, he's not playing. No.
Oh, come on.
No, he's not playing. No. No, they clearly said, no, but Brian, they clearly said he is going to come to the team in a front office capacity.
Okay, well, he's a smart man, so that's a good thing anyways, but I was just dreaming.
Yeah,
and
he's not playing. By the way, now that I think about it, when I said the four significant roles, we can ace out head coach because... that's not a front office position. So it's general manager, CEO, something like that, you know.
A couple hours ago, you were talking about writing checks. I was taught in high school how to write a check in like 1999 or so, and I think that's when it phased out. Do people know how to write checks now?
Well, no, I was just talking about how back in the day when we had to write checks for everything because we didn't have, you know, I didn't get my first check card. You know, credit card, check card until my first bank card withdrawal ATM card was, all right, old school Atlanta. Are you old school Atlanta, Brian?
I've been here for 6 years.
Oh, okay. No, you're not old school. So old school Atlanta was here in town and it would have had a checking account in, say, the late 70s. We'll know that the two big banks at that time were Trust Company and First National. Trust Company, I think, is now kind of gone through, you know, it was SunTrust, it was all these other things. I think it's Truist now. I think that's what old Trust Company was. Anyway, Trust Company and First National, and I was at First National, and I had a Tilly the Teller card. Okay? that was 1978. Okay, so, but that was it. You know, you weren't paying bills online. That was when the first check cards came out, and so we were all writing checks. I worked at the gas stations. Everybody wrote checks. And when you got to the New Year's Day, people would always write, they would, damn it, I wrote the year, you know, it's 1978, not 77, because they would always get the year wrong. It would take like a week or 10 days before everybody would go, oh, that's right, it's the new year. they'd always get the date wrong.
I think that was the last generation of check writing, because in high school I had a class in high school that taught us how to write checks, and then I never had to write a check again.
There you go. I appreciate it, Brian. I was at the Kroger the other day, and this elderly lady was writing a check, and I looked, and they had to go through the whole process of writing a check, and I went, wow, somebody's writing a check for groceries. And I understood it, but I was like, okay. I didn't even know that still existed. I haven't written a check. I appreciate it, Brian. I got to wrap up the show. I'm sorry. Hang on. Okay, I'm sorry. We'll do it another time. We'll get back into it another time. I got to wrap up the show. I'm sorry. I got to get to top of the hour with Garrett and with Caleb. I appreciate your call, Brian. And I'm not banging on Steve, by the way, on the whole Kyle Pitts thing. He doesn't like him. That's fine. I think I get that. Let's go to this, Garrett. I just kind of want to put a button on this. What's going to happen over the next couple of days here? Okay.
Sure.
Matt Ryan, if he's going to accept a front office role, and that front office role is going to be significant, which is what the Falcons have said, and we now know that that's going to happen, if that significant front office role involves him making a decision in regards to either letting go of the current head coach and finding a new head coach, then that Matt Ryan thing has got to come down now, today or tomorrow, correct?
Yeah. I would imagine that it was part of his... He didn't have an interview process, but I'd imagine that Arthur Blank asked him what he thought. So his opinion has probably already been conveyed.
Well, I think they've been talking what he thinks. I think they've been planning this out for months.
Sure.
This wasn't some casual conversation the two had, you know, over dinner in the dining hall. I think they've been meeting for a long time, the two of them, and mapping this out. In other words, I think the decision was made a long time ago, and... Okay, Matt, we're going to bring you in. We have to start mapping this thing out. And I think they've had serious conversations in regards to this. So, but I don't know what the role is going to be, okay? It may not involve him. It may be a senior advisor role. So he's not the one that's actually making the determination as to, you know, the future of the head coach, which in which case, if he's a senior advisor, then it could just fall onto the head of you know, the team president, you know, to make that, for Greg Beatles to make that move on Black Monday. So we wouldn't necessarily have to have Matt Ryan announced in the next couple of days. It could be next week or a month from now, you know, I mean, so because he's not the one actually physically doing it, making that, you know, decision and alerting, you know, hauling Raheem into his office and saying we're making a move. Again, I don't know how all this is going to work out. The point is that if they're going to make a move with Matt Ryan, with Raheem Morris, with Terry Fontenot, with any of the assistant coaches, all of that has to be done by 9 a.m. Monday morning. They cannot wait because Zach Taylor, Cincinnati, Kevin Stefanski, Cleveland, Aaron Glenn, Jets, Jonathan Gannon, Arizona, Mike McDaniel, Miami, Pete Carroll, Las Vegas. I mean, there are a lot of other coaches that are going to be let go. And if you've identified the next guy to be your Ben Johnson, your Liam Cohen, you got to move fast. You cannot wait. None of this interview process stuff on a yacht. All right. Thanks to everybody that called in, including you, Steve. We're all good. Stand by for Garrett and Caleb on this New Year's Day. Happy New Year, everybody. I'll talk to you again on Saturday on College Football Game Time. I hope your team wins today in the playoffs.